Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. Well, this is the next in the continuing series of Bible questions and answers. We're in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. The question is, what point does God make of the obedience of the Rechabites? Say, what in the world are you talking about? Jeremiah 35 mentions the Rechabites. They were a group of Israelites, Jewish people, the head of whose clan said, hey, we're not going to drink wine. We're going to give that as an offering to the Lord. We won't drink wine forever. Just don't do it. And several other things that they were told not to do. And God makes a point about the way they obeyed that in their people. And the point is this, simply look, Israel, look, take a look at these men. Here are some men in this family who will obey men. But you won't obey me. The Lord also promised to bless this family from that day on. Obedience is a good thing. God's heart is hurt when we will not obey him. That's the point of that one. Let's go on to Jeremiah 45. What's happened here to Jeremiah's scribe, Baruch? Seems to have gone to his head all this attention and this the fact that God was speaking to his master Jeremiah, that he could hear the word of the Lord, and it just something went to his head in the midst of all of this. Look what Jeremiah says to him. You're seeking great things for yourself? Huh? Baruch, are you? Don't seek them. Behold, I'm going to bring disaster on all flesh. But I will give your life to you as booty in all the places where you may go. Something's going on with Baruch, and Jeremiah has to stop him. Jeremiah warns him strictly not to seek great things for himself. It's a serious warning to anyone who would be a servant of the Lord. And as we've probably mentioned before, power corrupts. It can be the Lord's power even. When you start seeing how powerful he is and how he is working in your life and great things are starting to happen, it starts to go to your head. And you start thinking it's you. If you could just think back a little while to when you were nothing, you would wake up real quickly and realize it's not you. But usually we don't want to do that. We want to think that we deserve all of this, that really it is us and God favors us so much, and we start getting proud and people see it, and that hurts the ministry, that hurts the work of the Lord. And then maybe you'll have to get a rebuke like this. Read Jeremiah 45 next time you start thinking this way. How about Jeremiah 47, 48, and 49? What's to be the fate of Egypt, Philistia, Moab, Ammon, Edom, Damascus, Kedar, Hazor, and Elam? And have all the big thing that I look for in all these prophecies now is, have these prophecies been fulfilled, or is it still out there? It says Egypt's going to be conquered decisively by Nebuchadnezzar. Pharaoh Necho of Egypt was indeed overthrown by the Babylonians at the famed Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC. But 40 years later, Egypt was free from Babylon's control, and yet, as the prophecy said, never did come back to its full glory. I would say prophecy fulfilled for the most part. Philistia is to be conquered by Egypt. That happened in 587 BC. Then it seems reconquered by Babylon near the time of Judah's fall. Prophecy probably fulfilled. I want to say probably on all these because I do see sometimes where there's a further fulfillment of things coming in the end times. Moab is to end altogether because of its abominable pride. But allowance is made for a restoration of Moab in the latter days. Now, all but that latter days prophecy has been fulfilled. Moab is no more, nor has she existed all these centuries. But yeah, something seems to be coming And you pick it up in Daniel, and you'll pick it up in other prophecies where Moab seems to be there at the end. Like, some of these things have to have an ultimate public fulfillment at the end of time for them to be complete. Babylon itself, for example. Well, Ammon will fall to the Babylonian scourge in about 582 BC. But Ammon also is to have a later revival, either because of that Cyrus thing that happens, bringing all the Jews back, and maybe Moab too, and maybe in the millennial days. Fulfilled, except for the days that we're still waiting for. Ammon is the name, by the way, given to the capital of Jordan in our day. The people that dwell there are not the descendants of the Ammonites, though, who have basically left history, just like the Moabites and the Edomites. Edom, formerly south of Israel, is to be desolate, and so it has been since its destruction by Nebuchadnezzar, in about the same time as Judah was conquered. Prophecy fulfilled, yes, but I don't think we're through with Edom either. We'll be talking about Edom again, for sure. Well, Damascus is not promised eternal night, but judgment is certainly coming to this capital of Syria. Nebuchadnezzar's armies did this work in 605 BC. Prophecy fulfilled. Kedar and Hazor were located in what is now Arabia. Nebuchadnezzar, 599 BC, conquered the region, just like God promised. And the rest of the promise was that this portion of land would be a desert, a desolation, forever. Look at Saudi Arabia to this day. Prophecy fulfilled. Elam was an ancient kingdom located between Assyria and the Persian Gulf. Look at your map. Babylon brought it down in 596. Later, Cyrus of Persia came and reconquered it and added it to his Persian Empire that later brought Babylon down. The capital of Elam was Susa. That became the capital of Persia under Darius. The Elamites were promised a scattering, and yet also, as certain other nations, they were promised a return. Note that Elamites were present on the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 2. Prophecy fulfilled. Now, I've got a lot of the information. I didn't just copy, but I got the information for a lot of that from MacArthur's Bible Commentary, which I recommend highly to you, by the way. He has a whole long series, or you can get the abridged form, which is the one that I was able to afford. It's one volume, the MacArthur Bible Commentary. Well, Jeremiah 50 and 51, something is radically different about the prophecy concerning Babylon when compared to the ones spoken over the other nations. What is it that is so different? Though we certainly can see local and immediate fulfillment to this prophecy, most are content to say that it's been totally fulfilled already. I'm not so sure when it comes to Babylon. In fact, I am sure that it hasn't been. I want you to look with me at the clues here. Got a whole bunch of clues that point to an end time, millennial thing, scenario when it comes to Babylon. We're in Jeremiah 50 and 51. I've given verses on each one, so you can look it up now or later. 50:13, she will not be inhabited. Well, it doesn't say forever, so perhaps we can pass this one by. Fact is, Babylon was inhabited for a long time after Persia took it over. And for centuries after that, it was a prize, Babylon was, for kings and conquerors. This immediate destruction, boom, 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 doesn't happen. It didn't happen, folks. It kind of faded away. Chapter 50, verses 17 to 20. In the midst of all of this turmoil in Babylon, the promise comes to Israel. She's going to be forgiven of all her sins. She's going to have a home of peace in her own land. Now, is that the return under Cyrus, or the final return of Israel because of direct contact with Messiah. Look at 50:39. Now it says she will never again be inhabited or dwelt in from generation to generation. Now, this has finally happened, more or less, but it didn't happen in connection with Persia's attack. It didn't happen immediately like they said. Look at 50:46. Babylon has been seized, is the outcry that shakes the earth. That sounds more like Revelation's Babylon. In John's day, there was still a Babylon, by the way, inhabited by real people, but not a great world power, but it was there. It hadn't gone away even yet. Babylon returns somehow. Look at 51:7. Babylon is a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating the earth. Why, isn't that what John saw in Revelation 17, 1-5? Look at 51:25. Babylon, situated on a plain, by the way, is called a destroying mountain that destroys the whole earth. The Babylonian Empire was vast, but it didn't cover the entire earth, that's for sure. 51:26, no stone will be used to start another building or city. But isn't it true that that new Babylon attempted by Saddam Hussein did indeed use stones from the original? Look at 51:34. The scene switches back to Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon and the punishment that it deserves. Truly, the judgment on this place is long-lasting. 51:48, heaven and earth will shout for joy over Babylon's demise. Look at Revelation 19:1-2 and realize that John's prophecy is written 600 years after Jeremiah wrote his, but Babylon has not, even today, by 2016, never has it suffered the catastrophe that was seen by both of these men, prophet and an apostle. Jeremiah's last word about this enemy of Israel and God is to order a scroll to be read. Listen to this. Take a scroll, tie that scroll to a stone, not just a little tiny stone, but a huge rock, actually, so it's going to sink. Throw it in the Euphrates River. It's a picture of the final fall of the great Babylon. And that parallels exactly the activity of Revelation 18. It doesn't parallel anything in history, but it parallels Revelation 18, where an angel throws a millstone into the sea, saying that Babylon will be thrown down in the same way with violence and not be found any longer. Friends, Babylon was around for a long time, like I've said, after the initial prophecy was given, and even lasted a while after the second prophecy by John. Babylon never fell violently, never went out of existence totally. Even now, there's a would-be amusement park that the last dictator of Iraq tried to put in place, believing he was the new Nebuchadnezzar. He really did. It's not hard to imagine Babylon slowly rising from the dust of Iraq, terrorizing the world again. Not hard to imagine anything in the Middle East these days, is it? Rome, too, seems to be hanging on by a thread. The Roman Empire never was shut down entirely. Rather, it was reorganized and its leadership repopulated. Rome can easily rise in the form of the United States of Europe, or the common market, or the conglomeration that exists over there today, which is falling apart as we speak. Herein is a huge mystery. The prophecy of Jeremiah is only in part fulfilled. Jeremiah was carried away to imagery that can only picture the final state of world affairs, where a world power known as Babylon, or will it be Rome, or both, will rule our world and hate God's people and cry out for that final judgment, which it will receive. How about Jeremiah 52? Let's just finish the book of Jeremiah. What do you say? This is the last question. Why is the end of Judah recorded four times in your Bible? Yes, it is. 2 Kings 23 to 25, 2 Chronicles 36, and twice in Jeremiah, chapters 39 to 44, and right here in 52. The Lord evidently wants to impress upon his people that disobedience to the God of heaven is a serious matter. He wants us to read and meditate and be sure that our own life is in order, lest we be removed from what seems to be our standing before him. Take it serious, folks. He surely took this one seriously, didn't he? Okay, that's it for today. Thank you for showing up. I hope you were on time, and I hope you can get back to your studies now, whatever you were doing. Hey, there's a whole lot of other things on this website. I think some of you have already looked around, and I hope you're being blessed. Got a whole Through the Bible course right here. It's in audio and written form. You can be copying things out. You can get the book. Go to the store there. You'll find out the books that I've written. Another book on the way. By the way, I like hearing from you. I just heard from some people the other day. It is a blessing to get your little notes saying, God bless you, we love you, we're with you, or saying, could you pray for such and such thing, or here's a book I would love for you to read online, would you do that? Those kind of things, I like hearing from you. So keep in touch and check in from time to time right here and see what's going on at the Hackberry House of Chosun website, sermonaudio.com. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.